Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the Savvy Dentist Podcast, the show where great dentistry meets great business. It's Jesse Green here at the Control Panels, and today I'm delighted to be having a conversation with Nick Dogulin from dentalrank.com.au. In this conversation, we talk about the ins and outs of digital marketing, and we literally cover a ton of territory uphill and down dale. And it's a really fun and interesting conversation because we talk about the very basics of internet marketing, which is traffic and conversions. We talk about how to get some of that right, some of the pitfalls that people make, but we also branch off into another couple of areas as well where we discuss email marketing and a variety of other things as well. So if you've got an interest in digital marketing, and I suggest that every practice owner should have an interest in digital marketing, there's going to be something here for you. And as always, I'm going to suggest you have a pen and paper handy because there's a ton of things that Nick shares in this conversation that are really practical, really useful. And if you're already working with a provider, things you'll want to inquire about and make sure that it's happening for you. So this conversation is rich in gold, and I know you're going to get a lot from it. So please do have a pen and paper handy. As I said, you're going to want to take some notes. Now, before we get into the conversation with Nick, I want to share with you a resource. It's called the Earn More, Work Less video series. It's a pro tip video series with 20 pro tips, which we deliver to your inbox every single day, easy to implement, simple to digest, pieces of information to make sure your profit is moving in the right direction, to make sure your marketing is working, your books are full, that your time is being leveraged, and your team is a self-managing team so that you've got scale and leverage in your practice. It's a really useful video series, and we've had some great feedback from it, and we'd like to make that available to you as our listener. So if that resonates with you and you'd like to grab a copy, do head across to savvydentist.com/protips. And you can grab hold of them right there. But for now, let's get on to our conversation with Nick Dogulin. I really hope you enjoyed this as much as I enjoyed recording it. So without any further ado, here's Nick. Nicholas Dogulin, welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and hang out with us. How are you today, mate?
Very well, thanks, Jesse. Thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Well, mate, I've been looking forward to this for quite a while, and we've had a few conversations back and forth, I know. Now, for people who yet to get to know you, you run a website called dentalrank.com.au, and you're heavily That's involved correct. In the digital marketing space and all correct. That entails. I'm curious to ask you, how did you find your way into that world? Because it's not really something people put on their high school leaving thing, that most people kind of migrate their way some way to that. How did you find your pathway into that world?
Yes, it's interesting. So it actually, digital marketing never, ever entered my mind. It was always IT and computers. So when I was 8 years old, my uncle pulled apart a computer in his bedroom, and that's when I fell in love with all things computers and IT. So then through my schooling, took every single computer subject I could. And at the time, the internet was not such a very well-known thing. So I didn't really get too involved in it. But then as I went into TAFE, I then started studying web development, which was great. And I loved it. And I couldn't wait to be a coding monkey. It's just what I wanted to do, build some cool stuff. And then sort of to appease my parents, but also just as something to mark off my list, I then decided to apply for university. And I got into Sydney University with a computer science degree, and doing that, it was more theory, where I then started losing the love for it, which wasn't too bad, because then I started to learn a lot more and open up new worlds. And then started working at a startup where it was just my boss and at the time and I on one table, and then that grew across three continents, and I ended up managing staff in an IT operation world, everything like that. And that's, I suppose, when my entrepreneurial spirit came alive, because I didn't understand why someone would have to sit behind their desk from 9 till 5 when you finish everything at, say, 10:30, 11. And I thought, okay, well, how can I get out of this world, out of the corporate rat race, I suppose. So then I thought, okay, well, I know web development. Let me start a web development firm. And that's kind of where it all came from. So I had a web development firm for probably, I would say, 2 years, where we're just building great websites for basically anyone that wanted anything. And back then, we were building sites for maybe $500, $1,000, $2,000 and thought this was cream. And you soon learn that's not necessarily the case. So that's kind of where it all came from in that sense.
That's really interesting, actually, because I don't know if I told you this, actually, but when I sold my first dental practice and I was, I had 3 months of pure bliss of not doing anything. And then almost to the day on the 12-week mark, I got bored. And this was going back over a decade ago now. And I started building websites for fun and selling all sorts of really crappy affiliate products. I don't know if you ever had any experience with ClickBank at all or any of that sort of stuff.
I have, yeah. I've known about it. I haven't really got involved in it, but yeah. I know it quite well.
Yeah. So anyway, so like you, I was building websites and doing all that sort of stuff. And it's really interesting. I'm curious to ask because I've always loved marketing. I've always loved the thought of how do we make this business effective? How do we get more people through the door? How do we keep them in the practice? All that sort of stuff. So, you know, going from web development to marketing is a bit of a shift because one's a very technical skill set. And you can build a website, but how do you make it convert, right? So, what have you had to learn around the marketing piece to complement the technical piece?
That's a great question. I was hoping you were going to ask that. So, a website, right, is kind of it's almost a standalone product. So, the way I like to explain it is if you think of a Ferrari. So, if you've got a Ferrari and it's sitting in your garage, it's a beautiful piece of machinery, but no one knows about it. And that's what was happening with our websites. We were spending a lot of time and energy building these great sites. And everything we heard from customers was like, Nick, team, you guys build great sites. We were a team of, at the time, I think 3 purely in web development. And we built these great sites and nothing was happening. And we thought, okay, what do we need to do? So then started looking into the digital marketing side, predominantly SEO, AdWords, paid traffic, things like that. And I'm a firm believer that you should hire people much smarter than you. And instead of trying to learn everything yourself, learn what you need to know in order to get by or to sell or to hire people that are smarter. So that's kind of what I did. So then I actually started working with a white label company. So for any listeners who aren't familiar with the whole white label concept, what that means is, for instance, someone approaches, say, myself and says, Nick, we want to offer, you know, web development, but we want it to be under our brand. Mm. So my team would then go and actually do all the technical side, and the person that approached us would then put their branding on it, offer it to their clients, and perhaps upsell something like that. So I did that for probably a period of maybe 2-3 years where we were doing that and learned a lot, and it was great. There was obviously some big mistakes that happen, and you work out how to solve that. And what actually ended up happening because of I'm quite the stickler for systems and processes and working much smarter than harder. So what ended up happening is I actually took over that business here in Australia. And then we were managing about 537 staff, which was quite a nightmare time.
Oh, I get a headache just thinking of that.
I know. Just thinking of it is a bit crazy. And as a young entrepreneur, I was like, you know what? This is amazing. This is such a great opportunity. And I did it. And you very quickly realize that you lose your hair very quickly as a result. I'm still lucky I've got a full head of hair, but that was going to be very soon not the case if I continued. But the good thing with that, what I learned is that that is not the world for me, and it's better just focused on my own agency. So then decided to sell that off and focus again on, at the time, I still got it to this day, Doguland Digital, which did digital marketing for all industries and people. But then getting onto the dental space, so that one, I had absolutely no intention whatsoever to get into dental marketing. I didn't even know it was a thing that was required. And my best mate, he's a dentist still to this day here in Mosman in Sydney. And he would have coffee with me every single Tuesday, just talking life. I've known him now for, I think, the better part of maybe 13, 14 years, which is great. Still my best mate. And he was just saying, Nick, look, you're getting some good results for your customers in your current agency. Do you think you can do it for the dental practice that I work at? Because we're not happy with the guys that we're using. So, mate, I can give it a go. Any entrepreneur says that, right? We say we'll give it a go and work it out along the way.
Yeah, totally.
So, we went in there and I had a look at it. And obviously, with the web development background, I had a look at it and I said, look, there's just no point driving traffic to a website that looks this way and isn't going to convert.
Yeah, totally.
And that was, how long ago was that? That was about 4 years ago. And nothing's changed in that regard. You know, everyone's coming out saying, oh, digital marketing, there's all these latest and greatest fancy things and fancy tactics. The way I run my agencies now, it's so simple. It's just go back to basics and look at the website. What's the point of driving traffic to a website that A, doesn't look that great, that B, has content on there that was probably written in a prehistoric era and has absolutely no attention grabbing elements to it, or doesn't speak about the ethos of the business? I mean, in this day and age, with technology, with social media, with information at the ready at any corner, you have 3 seconds to grab attention on a search engine, mm-hmm. and you have 4 seconds to grab that attention on your website. And if someone leaves that website with the number that are out there today, you'll never see that potential patient ever again. Mm. So it really does come down to the website.
Yeah. So I really love that. There's a heap of things in there that I'd love to just pick apart for a second, mate, because it's fertile ground. And so what I'm hearing you say is that going back to basics, digital marketing is about traffic and conversion. Mm-hmm. So you've got to have a website that converts those visitors into inquiries. And if you don't have that, first and foremost, there's no point running traffic to it. And of course, there's all sorts of traffic. And what I really love about what you've just said there is because it's simple. And it's simple and it works. It worked when internet marketing first started. It works yeah. today. And it's really easy, I think, for all of us. And I know you live in the digital world. I live close to the digital world, probably closer than most dentists. But dentists, mm-hmm. it's not. Serves a purpose, right? It's their yep. dentist, they want to run their practice, and the digital marketing thing. Some people are enthusiasts, but for most mm-hmm. people, it's just what they want to do to get their books full. So it's where I'm going with that is it's very easy to be caught up in the latest shiny, bright thing. Should I have a messenger bot? Should I be running this kind of ad? You know, what about retargeting? And what about all that sort of stuff? And it's all good, right? I'm not now, down on that at all, but I think people get caught up with the nitty-gritty tactics rather than thinking traffic conversions. You know, do you have a view around that?
Most certainly do, yeah. So, see, my thing with any practice that we work with is I have to see the practice first. I have to meet the principal dentist and the staff, and I'll tell you why. Because I don't want to drive traffic. I don't want to build a website for a practice and drive traffic to a website for a practice that when the potential patient looks at that online and goes, wow, this thing looks absolutely amazing. And then they walk into the practice and it's a completely different practice than what is online. You don't want that. So I want the brand, the ethos, the USP behind the practice to meet what is on the website.
Yeah.
And that's super important. And you're right, in terms of the tactics. So, I mean, if you think about it, just, you know, off the top of my hand, you've got your SEO, search engine optimization, you've got your AdWords, mm-hmm. you've got your social media marketing, and even that opens up a can of worms. You've got your Facebooks, your Instagrams, your YouTubes, your Pinterest, I'll just keep naming names here.
Yeah.
Then you've got your retargeting. Then you've got, you know, you can do some affiliate stuff, some partnerships, some even going offline. In fact, I can tell you a great story around the offline stuff, but in terms of your cinema ads, in terms of your local communities, things like that, there's so many different marketing things. So what we do, we've got the way we do everything is called our pinpoint patient acquisition formula, right? Mm-hmm. So we want to work out who is your perfect patient. So if I said, you know, I'll take you as an example, Jesse, Dr. Jesse, if I gave you your perfect patient to walk through that door right now, what do they look like? How do they speak? How do they dress? You know, what do they love? What do they hate? All that kind of stuff. That's what we go through
yeah.
before we get into any tactics, any strategies. I want to understand you, your patient base, the ethos behind your practice. Once we have that, we then formulate that person. We actually go to the point of giving them a name. So it's just called a persona analysis, yeah. right? So we figure that out. Then I ask you the second most important question. And I said, Dr. Jesse, if I could drive the worst patient for your practice into the door, what do they look like? And again, we go through the same characteristics. And the reason for doing that, and that's why, because our formula is called the pinpoint patient acquisition. I don't want to open up a huge net and say, look, here's all these patients, enjoy, you know, which we can do. We've done it. It's very easy to do. Anyone worth their salt can do it. But I want to say, here is 100 highly qualified patients per month, for instance. Now, when I say 100, it depends on your area, and I'll go into that in a second.
Sure.
But if I could say even, look, here's 10. They highly, highly qualified, exactly matching this persona. And then I could even show you a list of the ones that perhaps didn't match it, and so we didn't even bother. And the reason why we do that is just it's just on that targeting. So if you think about it, I like to use the analogy of a pilot, right, in an airplane. So imagine a pilot sitting in a Boeing, you know, 737 with his co-pilot, and he's got about 300, 400 people in the back there. And he gets onto the mic and he says, "Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's your captain speaking. I have absolutely no idea where we're going. I've got no idea how we're even going to get there, but we'll take off, all right, and we'll land eventually somewhere." That doesn't make any kind of sense, right? You've got to have the direction. You've got to know where you're going. So we want to know why your practice. What are you doing with the practice? Are you looking to grow it? Are you looking to expand it? What kind of customers do you want? Your best referral source is always going to be existing patients. There's some practices we work with who we go there initially to say, "Look, do you want help with your digital marketing?" And they say, "Well, we've actually got a really great referral base as it is. And they bring us a lot of patients." I'm like, well, then you shouldn't really be going into all this digital marketing stuff. Let's just work out how to enhance that component of it. Let's work on your reviews. Let's work on behind the scenes of digital marketing. What's happening inside your practice? And that's where we would then refer someone to the likes of yourself or to a sales trainer or something. There's so many different elements of this that when your typical SEO digital marketing expert walks in your door and says, "I can sell you SEO." If you walk in there and you hear someone saying, "I can sell you SEO," tell them to turn around and walk straight out.
Yeah.
Because they've got to figure out what you're wanting to do and then tailor a solution around that.
Yeah. Nick, you're one of the first people I've ever heard describe that. Because, mate, I love marketing and we've had some conversations around that. And
yeah.
Kudos to you, my friend, because you are not the average digital marketing guy. And I mean that as a compliment.
Thank you.
And the reason I say that is because that whole ideal patient avatar or persona that you've spoken about is key.
Yep.
And so, interestingly enough, we ran a workshop, it's probably about 4 or 5 weeks ago now, I can't remember, but one of the number one exercises we got them to do in that particular workshop was to get absolutely clear about who their ideal patient is. And for the exact reason you've described, because if they go to a digital agency or any other marketing agency, yeah, whatever it happens to be, they need to be able to give that to the person they're working with and say, "This is who we want, right? We don't want every 100%. Tom, Dick, and Harry."
So let's just, going back to that example, if we then see that we've got a practice that we would love to work with, I mean, look, first and foremost, we need to make sure that there's synergy there, right? That we, the number of, in fact, I'll just backtrack just slightly, and dentists are probably one of the most smartest types of people that are on this face of the earth, right? But know absolutely nothing about marketing or digital marketing. Mm. And the thing is, they get sucked into it by anybody that comes through the door. So a lot of practices I work with, they'd be like, "Oh, Nick, we've worked with so many different agencies before. Why should we pick you?" Which is why, Dr. Jesse, on our website, there's the complimentary digital marketing audit, because I'm all about education. So part of our core values within my business that we have both internally and to our customers is education, right? So we want to educate not only our staff to say, "Listen, I've hired you," because I'm all for hiring people much smarter than you, as I've already explained, saying, "You're an expert here, here, and here." And to the customer, we're saying, "Look, this is where you currently sit right now with your digital marketing. Here's the goal that you want to achieve. This is how we're going to get you there. And here's the elements that are going to do it." And we'll educate them on the way. So we execute everything sort of in 90-day chunks.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll develop the content plans or the marketing plan over 90 days, but with an ultimate goal. Then we say, "Okay, here's the 90-day plan to get us closer to that goal. Here's why this is going to work. Here's perhaps why this particular element didn't work, and here's how we're going to change it." And we just constantly do it. So it's like when a dentist puts someone on a dental plan, we basically put them on a marketing plan and say, "Great, here's what we want to achieve. So it might be perfect teeth, but here's the plan that we're going to put you on with your braces or whatever the case may be." And then we'll just plan that out for them. That's basically how it works. So we try and keep it so simple, because dentists have so many things to worry about, that we just want to be the digital marketing partner to take care of it for them.
Yeah, cool. I think the education piece is really important, because again, yeah, my view on all of this is an educated customer is a better customer, because they can ask those questions. They can not interrogate in a bright light, dark room kind of scenario. They can interrogate the data. They can say, "Why is this bounce rate this? Why am I getting traffic from this source and not that source?
Yeah.
And why are we getting this demographic and not that demographic?" So all of those education pieces, I think, allow the dentist to work better with their marketing provider so that they can get better outcomes. So all of you listening here, one of our key premises of this particular podcast is to educate business owners, which is what you're about as well. And so, ladies and gents, I'd really encourage you to start learning about marketing, to start reading, to start engaging with the marketing. Marketing's fun. Marketing is actually, for me, possibly the most fun thing I do in my business. And do you agree?
Well, I'd be lying if I said it wasn't the core of ours either. So, I love it. I mean, the coolest part that I find about growing my business, like I love growing businesses, right? I don't think I'm ever going to retire. I just love growing things and I love growing our clients' businesses. But that's the beautiful thing is once we did the work to grow our own, so we built our systems, our processes. I mean, I'll be honest, we don't do our own marketing and that's for a very particular reason, which I can get into in a second, but it's a great reason. But what's cool is because we are building it for so many different dental practices, yes, probably about maybe 80% of marketing is very cookie cutter, right? Mm. You just know what you have to do. But it's that final 20% that separates the amateurs from the experts. And I'd like to think that we are the experts because that's where you have to identify what are we doing, who are we doing it for, what deems it successful, what deems it unsuccessful, what are we going to do to change it, how is it things responding. So there's that whole split testing element. Like if we got a client that will use teeth whitening as probably the perfect, most relevant example, where we say, okay, great, this practice wants to heavily focus on teeth whitening and it's a client that we've got in Curably. Mm-hmm. And we then had to do split testing. So we worked out who their perfect persona is, who an ideal one is, and perhaps one that's not. And we would actually build three different landing pages with the exact same thing to then work out what that traffic does, where do they interact. If we've got the call now button right up the top or in the middle or at the bottom or something, where do they interact most? And then we keep changing it around. So when we meet with practices, I say, you know what? Don't worry, we've got this. We've got someone in-house that can do it, you know, like our practice manager will do it or a DA will do it. That's great, but you need someone that's there 24/7 working on this, and that's basically what we do because you're split testing, you're changing. We create ads all the time and optimize, and a lot of the core value that customers get with us is actually the stuff they don't see, the stuff that we've gone to university for, the stuff that we are trawling websites for every single day, trying to learn new tactics and implement them and break stuff that we do, not on the client side, obviously on our own, but working out what works and what doesn't and then implementing it into a client site as if it's just something that we've inherently known for a very long time. There's all of that goes into this digital marketing. So there's nothing worse. In fact, it's probably better to do no digital marketing than to do it and do it wrong.
Yeah,
because it's going to taint your brand, everything.
Yeah.
It takes you a lifetime to build it and a second to lose it.
Totally. I could not agree more. So I want to ask you, I've got a ton of questions that I'd like to ask you, but I just want to ask you about the importance of good copy on the website.
Yeah. Oh.
Direct response marketing. Yeah. Do you kind of go for the attention grabbing headline? What's your view on copy that converts?
Yeah. No, it's a great question. So I think with all copy, that's why we've actually got a content development team that specializes in different areas of that. And none of that's done offshore. A lot of people think they can save their money by doing it offshore, but you need to understand the Australian way of thinking, the colloquialism that we have, what you're trying to attract, what you're trying to grab. And at the end of the day, the best way to think about it is when someone comes to my website, am I telling them how great we are or am I telling them why we're the perfect fit for them? There's a very big distinction there, right? So when they come to your initial website, they've obviously clicked on something maybe on through SEO, through Google, or they've come through Facebook or something, they've come to the website, and that first 4 seconds is the most important element. So with some practices, they might want to focus on the family-friendly side, right? This is why landing pages are so important. So a lot of SEOs, a lot of digital marketers who aren't worth their salt, there's some really good ones out there, would drive a lot of traffic to the homepage. The homepage is so generic, it's useless. You waste that traffic, which is why we need a landing page or at least a product, a service page or something.
Yeah,
something internal, to make it unique.
Yeah.
And then just say, okay, keep it. I'm no content writer by trade, so I'm probably not doing this any justice, but my view on it is just have copy that speaks directly to that patient. So if they're looking for teeth whitening, have something to do with teeth whitening, which is kind of grabbing, saying, you know, we have a particular persona for a customer that was looking at girls that were going to a formal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like saying you're going to a formal and you're going to be in photo shoots. You want to have great looking teeth. You've grabbed that attention, mm-hmm. right? You've grabbed them. You've spoken exactly to them, who they are, what they're there for. Don't then sit there waffling about all sorts of other stuff.
Mm.
Just go, this is who you are. Here's a contact form to fill it in as an absolute minimum,
mm-hmm.
or alternatively, you know, book in now. So there's a lot of booking things that you can use to book directly in, depending on what practice software you have. So a lot of patients we work, I call them patients, Jesse, but it's dentists. You might use, you know, D4W,
mm-hmm.
and they've now thankfully come out with the booking link, so we can do that directly in, but making that very specific. You know, what are you booking for? Don't just have name, email, inquiry. That's useless. Mm. You know, have like name, email. What are you booking for? Ask a couple of just key questions. That way, you know, practice manager can pick up the phone, DA, pick up the phone, whoever it is, speak to them directly, almost make them feel like they're the only ones that you're speaking to. That's what you want through copy. Copy will do that. A great looking design won't, right? It's the copy behind it. It's kind of like having your Ferrari without an engine. You know, it's just, it might look great, but it's not going to do anything for you unless you know what it's all about.
I love that. So there's a few things just on, you know, we spoke about traffic and conversion. So just while we're still on conversions, yeah, if we were to look at the anatomy of a website that converts, we've touched on copy already. What other factors do you think aid conversion, and how do you measure conversion? Obviously, we've got our analytics that we can look at. Are you using heat maps or anything like that to examine all the behavior on the website as well?
Yeah, so heat maps is a huge one for us. So we use heat maps to look at the different elements of the website. So for instance, there might be the slider that's mm-hmm. usually on the homepage, and we place different images in there with different call to actions. So mm-hmm. initially, it might be an image of the practice from the front, or it might be the reception area or something like that, and we see which one gets the most amount of views, because you can, with heat maps, you can track where scroll rate, so mm-hmm. where people scroll, you mm-hmm. can track where people actually click. We can also track exits, so when people leave,
mm-hmm.
and exits are actually a new one, so I want to go into that before we leave, just on the actions with that one. But heat map's good. One of the other elements that we use, and where you will find a lot of agencies actually fail on, is what you mentioned before, which is the Google Analytics, right? So people think, okay, there's this thing called Google Analytics with a GA code, and we put it on our website and everything's dandy. That's wonderful, but it's not the whole case, right? Mm. So you want to make sure that on your website, you have what's known, and this is within the Google Analytics framework, and ask your web developers if you've got one to set this up, which is called the goals. So mm-hmm. you want to set up Google Analytics goals. So for most practices, if you look at it in a general sense without getting to know you, it would be making a phone call, or booking in, right? Something like that. Or some practices might even have a fact sheet. So 7 elements to a great dental experience or something like that, mm-hmm. right, that they download. All of that has to be goals set up within your analytics so that we can track what keyword they might have clicked on to get there, what source it might have been. So is it Facebook, Google, whatever the case might be? Which landing page did it perhaps come from if it wasn't the direct landing page? How long did it take them to actually get there, and did they click through it? And after that case, what happens afterwards? Now, in terms of the what happens afterwards, that becomes the email marketing platform. Mm. That's probably a topic for another day, another time, up to you, Jesse. But there's all tactics and strategies behind that, which I can tell you and I would spend many, many hours discussing this because we love it.
Yeah, well, it's actually really true. I made a little note here to ask you about email marketing. Yeah. I'll come to it in a second because I actually think it's an underutilized part. But well, you're talking about exits. Are you referring to exit pops?
Yes, so I am. So there's two key things with the pops, right? Quote unquote pops. So for those who aren't sure what that is, imagine you go to a website and you want to go up to the top left, top right navigation, whichever browser you're on, and you want to exit it. And usually you see a little pop up that comes up and says, "Hey, before you leave, have you thought of X or Y or whatever the case is?" So what we do with some dentists is they might have a practice special on or something or whatever the case might be that we could then put on there, or it might be download this fact sheet or something. That's a very useful tactic. Mm. Some people get it wrong because they have it pop up every single time.
Yeah.
We do too. So there might be one where you've got a highly converting landing page and we might say, okay, when someone is looking at this, either have this pop-up appear after maybe 10 seconds mm-hmm. or have this pop-up appear after they scroll maybe 65-70% of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be one pop-up.
Yep.
And then if they exit that particular page, have a second pop-up appear, which is relative to that first pop-up.
Yeah.
So the first pop-up might be, you know, I'll give you a broad example. It might be 25% off. Let's just say this is a broad example. If they then don't engage with that pop-up, when they exit, it might be 35% off or something. So instead of someone just completely leaving, get them in. Attract you. There's an old marketing sort of adage, which is you offer B at a reduced cost to get A, right? Mm. So you might offer, so it's like, for instance, with dentists, it might be a scale and clean, but then from someone coming in with that, they might go onto like a huge
treatment plan,
know, huge case, for instance, something like that.
Yeah. Then, of course, they come back in 6 monthly and so on and so forth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the cool tactics that we implement, in fact, every practice has it and should have it, is call tracking.
Mm.
A lot of dentists opt to not do it, but I think it's a very, very strong strategy, and it's completely legal for those who are thinking it definitely is a legal strategy, whereby you if your practice number, whatever the practice number may be, we'll purchase an additional number for each of the tactics mm-hmm. so that when someone interacts with that particular ad and they get to the website, it shows a different number.
Yeah.
Now, the setbacks we get with that is someone says, oh, but I don't want to change my phone number, right? I don't want someone seeing a different number. And I'll ask a very simple question, which is, what was your number when you were a child? No one remembers it. So no one, as much as you would love to think so, would remember their dentist's phone number, right?
Yep.
It's usually in the phone. But when someone tries to call that number and they pick up, it says, hi, this you've called through to XYZ practice. Just so you know, we record the call for training and coaching purposes, whatever. We have a custom message for each practice.
Yep.
And then when they call through, what it actually does for the practice manager is we help them on the sales training side. Mm. So we might listen to a few of those phone calls because all the calls are recorded through our dashboard, and we tell the practice about it. We tell the practice manager, all the staff, that, hey, we're doing this to help the practice.
Mm.
But what happens a lot of times, so it's ironic because we spend so much time building a great website, doing a great lead generation campaign. Mm. And when they get to that phone call and someone picks up the phone and they say, is this XYZ practice? I said, no, it's not. You've got the wrong practice. They put down the phone. It's like, that is a perfect sales opportunity because we've bidded against another practice's name to drive them in to you. Or where they say, oh, when they're just shopping around and saying, oh, do you offer, you know, XYZ service and how much is it? There's nothing happening on the other end of the phone. We can do everything in our arsenal to drive traffic, to build sales. But at the end of the day, it comes down to the practice managers. And we've seen the practices that have grown. So we took a practice that was 2 chairs, grew them to 5 chairs to the point that I felt really bad because I had to move location for a bigger premises and they're actually looking to move in again. That was a really great
That's a quality sales. Problem, by the way. That's a quality problem.
Yeah. So I would take the time out myself after having so much stuff to do and literally sit into the practice and say, right, let's listen through this. Let's help you on the sales side. And that's why that doesn't really work for us. So I'd much rather have someone like you, Jesse, that could go in there and help them with that, or someone, you know, on the sales side. Like, we want to focus on design development and lead generation side of things and then go from there.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, exactly. And I know you guys are incredibly well regarded for the work you do. And I guarantee you, people listening to this podcast are just driving along to work right now going, did he just say 2 chairs to 5 chairs? Because that's an incredible growth, and well done you, mate. That's fantastic.
I appreciate it.
And I hope that client buys you lots of bottles of wine at Christmas or something like that, because that's a great result.
Yeah. Mate, it's an amazing, you know, and that's going back to what you were saying before, Jesse, in that marketing is your most favorite part of business.
Mm.
To me, my most favorite part is actually because we're in the I'm technically in the B2B game, so business to business.
Yep.
Dental practice is obviously B2C, but when I see my business grow, it's one thing. But when I see my clients and dental practices businesses grow, mate, that feeling it can be replicated every time, and every time it just feels so much more amazing. Like when you get a phone call saying, "Hey, it was a perfect client, or, you know, we've just grown so much, or every month, in fact, whenever we do a review. So just to give you a bit of background, we, in terms of the checking in, the education, we call every single client fortnightly just to check in, say good day, let them know what's happening. They get weekly, monthly reporting, but also that's imperative is a monthly meeting, either within their practice or online, where we go through in layman's terms exactly what's happened. And then every quarter, we not only review the content plan and build the next quarters, but we also review the quarter in terms of results. So we always know when things are working. So if something's going to fail, I guarantee you we've known about it for a while and we've put stuff in place to fix it, or we've let you know saying, hey, listen, the SEO campaign we've got, or the AdWords campaign, whatever it might be, hasn't performed as much as we wanted to. Here's the reasons as to why. Here's what we're doing to fix it.
Yep.
Or because we don't have locking contracts. So, and that's a very important thing for me, because that means that we are putting in the time and the effort to make sure it works, so that you have, it's a no-brainer to stick around. You're not sticking around because you're locked into a 12-month contract. No one wants to work with someone that don't like or don't have synergy with, right? So, ours is month to month.
Yeah. And I think that's really important because, and ladies and gents, if you are listening to this podcast, just to really quickly reiterate, we are having a conversation with Nick Doggyland from dentalrank.com.au. And many of you who have listened to this podcast for a little while now will know that I used to be involved in the space that Nick's now involved in, although it's moved on a lot since I was in that space. But the point I'm trying to make, the thing I really want to stress that's important to understand, is that with marketing, there is a lot of testing and measuring. You know, very, very rarely do you come out on month one and hit a home run. It happens, but if you're working with a digital marketing agency, you've got to be prepared, in my mind at least, to be able to give it some months to get some traction and then see how it's going. Oftentimes, you know, I get phone calls from someone that says, you know, look, I've been working with my digital agency now for 6 weeks and I'm not getting the traction I want. And my response is, well, I wouldn't expect traction in 6 weeks. You know, maybe 4 to 6 months, you start to see a few things, closer to 6 months probably, particularly if it's SEO. So I think, you know, for all of you who are thinking about digital marketing, you've got to give it a little bit of lead time. And I think it's just important to understand that it's not an overnight thing generally anyway. But anyway, a bit of a hobby horse of mine, sorry.
No, that's okay. And I mean, I'll just add to that point, Jesse, it's a great point, because a lot of you know, practices, when they start with us, they go, look, when can we expect results?
Yeah.
And my answer to that is tomorrow, because you're always going to be doing better than what you did yesterday or today, right? Because we're getting involved.
Yep.
But that is why when someone comes to a practice and says, yep, we'll get you more patients, we'll get you, you know, maybe 50 patients in a month, right? What they don't explain is when that's going to happen, or how they're going to do it, or are they buying this? You don't know, right? So that's why with us, when we, and our contracts are very, very simple, right? It just says we do as we say as we do, which is a core value, and that we just, you know, full transparency and everything. Transparency, accountability, you know, and a very ethical approach to doing things. My dad's a criminal lawyer. He's the only person in 33 years I've never won an argument against. That'll stay till the day I die. But with that, he taught me very important lessons, and that is, the number one important lesson that he actually told me, it's probably nothing to do with law, but he told me this. He goes, if you wouldn't sell it to your mother, don't sell it to someone else.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm like, wow.
It's really interesting that you say that. I just, it's Friday today. Friday is podcast day. I tend to batch my podcast recordings. And I was talking to a gentleman before you who made exactly the same comment about clinical treatment. Oh. If you wouldn't give it to your mother, don't give it to your patient. Yeah, it's the same thing.
Nah, I love my mum to bits. I wouldn't want to upset her in any form of way. But with that in mind, so what we do up front, we are very, very clear. In fact, they have to sign on a dotted line about it, is the expectations.
Yeah.
Right? So we want to tell you what our expectations are of you, because to work with us, you have to qualify. Right? Don't just work with anybody. You have to qualify.
Yep.
But then what your expectations need to be of us.
Yes.
And if you don't have any expectations, we will give you some, right? And we will tell you what it needs to be, because that's how it works. And you're hiring us, right? At the end of the day, pull back the onion, we are a service provider to that practice, but we want to come across as your digital marketing partner, right? Someone sitting there almost as if they're on the seat next to you doing a digital marketing. You're going to hold your staff accountable for certain things, you should hold your digital marketing agency accountable, but you need to be realistic in that. So if a practice comes and says, we want 20 new patients, you know, in the next 20, 30 days or 60 days, I will not laugh about it by any means. I will explain it. And I'll be like, look, let's look at everything that you have right now. Let's see if it's possible. If it's possible, I will guarantee, we have two guarantees in my agency, and that is we'll do everything we possibly can and you will know about it. And the second one is that we have no lock-in contracts.
Yeah.
That's our guarantees, right? That's it. So we'll sit down, we'll have a look at it, and you will know very quickly whether that's going to achieve the success or not. So we had a practice that we were working with. Geographically, you'd think that you couldn't get any good returns from it because on the one side of the practice, there's a forest, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, this is kind of limiting. And we looked at it and we were very clear up front saying, look, we're probably not going to hit the ad spend that we want you to hit, but we're going to do our best to ensure that we can get the practice.
Mm.
So we always start everything in 90-day cycles, as I told you. And the first 90 days after doing the website and copy is a paid traffic campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why we do paid traffic is because if you had to start with SEO, you need to give that probably at least 9 to 12 to 15 months for it to see any traction. And by then, you're probably even targeting the wrong stuff and doing damage to your brand. So we start with the paid side to see if we've hit that perfect patient, if we've hit that horrible patient and what that means. And so then we can get traction.
So sorry to interrupt. Do you use the results? So this is really interesting. Just, I don't mean to interrupt you, but you use those results from the paid traffic to then direct your SEO strategy?
100 million percent. Yeah. Yes, you have to.
Yeah,
have
exactly, to. Right? Cool.
Yep.
So you're doing, it's almost like a bit of market research, right? So this keyword is converting. So therefore, I want to rank organically for that keyword.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to fish where the fish are, right?
Totally.
So to give you it's a different industry, but it's a perfect example for you.
Hmm.
We're working with a legal practice.
Yep.
And they came and they approached me and they said, Nick, we want to do SEO because I think there's a problem with SEO because we're getting a lot of traffic with no conversions.
Hmm.
Let's start with AdWords before we get into the SEO tactic. And I explained as to why. And that's a very simple reason in that we want to do that research. We want to see what's working and what's not, right? So we did that. And the keyword they were trying to rank for was criminal law Sydney, okay? And I was like, wow, that's quite a generic term. I can't believe you even want to go for that to try and rank for starters. But what we then found out based on doing what I said we should do, which is the AdWords, is that there's a lot of university students that are using those keywords to try and find stuff. And it turned out that they were using that for their market research and their papers, not people actually looking for someone, because someone that's looking for someone is going to be a bit more specific than that.
Mm.
Just putting something like that in, right? It's going to be specific to the case they're looking for. And so by doing so, not only did we save them time and money. Okay, sure, there might have been a bit more money up front because we had to do an AdWords campaign, but it saved them a lot of time.
Mm.
And it also told them a lot more about their market and what they should focus on. So when we do the ads, we work on particular campaigns, we work on particular ad groups. So there might be in one ad group, like with teeth whitening, for example, we might have maybe several hundred keywords in there, but it's all to do with, it's called SCAG for short, which is single keyword ad group.
Mm-hmm.
And when we work out which ones are converting within that group, which ones aren't converting in that group, what is the traffic doing once they do convert, all that kind of stuff. So marketing is almost like a market research company per se. And what might work in one area for a dentist might not work in another. So a common request we get or reservation is, well, Nick, what stops you working with a practice around the corner? And I love that question because it plays back to my ethical side. And that is, we will only work with one practice per at least 3 to 5 kilometer radius or suburb. So if you've got a dentist here in Sydney, let's say they're out in Windsor, it's a big area, versus if you've got a dentist in Neutral Bay, there's a lot of other suburbs and dentists around. So we'll play it on the geographic area. But it's really important to then come back to, what does a perfect patient look like? Where are they coming from? With those two examples in mind, are they driving to you, or are they catching public transport? If ones are catching public transport, this is a little tip, and which I'm hoping most practices will do, in your contact page, put where the public transport is.
Mm.
Draw a map, a walking distance map even, of how to get to you. It's nothing new. a lot of people don't do it. It's just, again, it comes back to the simple stuff, working out what you want, what you don't want, and having direction around it.
Yeah, I love that, mate. Some wonderful pieces of advice there. So, ladies and gents, you're getting some marketing gold here from Nick. And before we deviate too far, I do want to come back to the email marketing.
Yeah.
Big topic. I know we could talk literally for a couple of days just on email marketing.
We can.
Back in the day when I was doing Done For You marketing, we ran a campaign around teeth whitening and I did some work around orthodontics as well. We had a download basically and we ran an email campaign off the back of that, which generated a ton of leads for the practices we did it for. But it seems to have gone in dentistry, or at least for the last few years, a little bit out of fashion. But I think there's still a really good place for email marketing. My big frustration, and this is me just getting on my soapbox for just 5 seconds, so please bear with me. The problem that I see is that CRMs don't interact with the practice management software. Now, I've had a couple of conversations with the practice management companies and they all tell me that their CRMs are amazing and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, yep. I don't want to dump on them too much, but a CRM from a marketing perspective is a very different piece of kit to a practice management software system. So yeah. I wanted to ask you about your views around email marketing, downloads, nurture sequences, calls to action mm-hmm. as part of that nurture sequence and so on. Do you still feel that there's a role for that?
Yeah, I feel there's a role, but I feel it's changed very much, right? Mm. And I speak to good friends of mine in the marketing space about this all the time. And I feel email marketing certainly has its place in the marketing realm. But again, it comes back to understanding your audience, right? So if I had to open up my email right now, I could probably pull out at least 2,000 emails that are email marketing. So you're going to be flooded with a whole bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm more inclined, and this is another tip here, is instead of sending stuff weekly, which I can guarantee you no one will read, mm-hmm. even fortnightly, I'm all for the monthly emails, or what we do actually is quarterly. We only have quarterly emails, and I'll tell you why.
But that's to the patient base, right?
Yeah, to the patient base. And what's more important to me is actually picking up that phone. Mm. So what we do in our email marketing software, so we use, well, Entreport is what we use yep. a lot, and yep. you might have similar ones like ActiveCampaign.
Yeah,
things
I use
like that.
ActiveCampaign, yeah.
Yeah, so two important elements out of that is actually using that piece of software more for the internal staff than the patient base mm. and by using lead scoring, right? So yeah. What lead scoring is, so if someone comes to your website and they maybe interact with a particular service like teeth whitening, we might give them a score of 10. If they download a particular ebook or something like that, we might give them another score. Actually, 80% of people that download an ebook or anything like that aren't going to read it.
No.
So what you need to do is literally extract the information from that ebook into an email series.
Yes.
Right? So if they've opted in for something very specific, not just click here to get onto our list, because that's useless as dark is in day. What is important is being very specific on it. There's no point sending someone who's opted in for service A and sending them information on service B because it's the first time they've heard about it. So getting very specific with the audience, which comes back right to the beginning of my conversation I said, who's your perfect client? Exactly. So you can send the email marketing. I'm still a fan of it, but be very specific. Even with some that we build, we say, how often do you want to receive the emails? Are you one that likes the daily stuff? Are you one that likes monthly, quarterly? You one that hates it at all? There's nothing worse. I hate seeing people bounce on anyone's list. Mm. I just feel if I unsubscribe to a lot of stuff that I go, how did I even get on there, right? And you want to enjoy doing it. You want to enjoy your email marketing. You want to enjoy your practice. You want to enjoy your patients. So work out who they are. Spend the time. Invest the time to work that out.
Totally. No, I absolutely 100% agree with that. What I also think that there is an opportunity for is email marketing to prospects rather than to patients. And so the thing that I see that's often missing is the piece we just spoke about is before they come to the practice, before they're officially in the door, getting that lead scoring, getting the targeted emails, getting that, I call it like a little soap opera sequence. I learned that from a guy called Andre Chaperon. And I see that there's some really good things in that space. But again, I don't think many people do it. But I do think it's going to become more commonplace. So I'll be interested to see. Hey, Nick, we could literally talk for days.
I'd love to.
You've been really, yeah, me too. But you've been really generous with your time. Ladies and gents, if you want to find out more about what Nick does, please head across to dentalrank.com.au. There is an audit you can go through there to get your digital marketing audited. I'd really encourage you to do that. I think getting an audit is just part of good digital practice. So I think it's certainly something that I would encourage you to check out and to do. And Nick, you know, I think we've got plenty more podcasts that we can and should do because this is fun conversations. And as I said to you on previous occasions, I could talk to you all day, every day about this for the rest of my life because this is thoroughly enjoyable for me.
Me too.
Mate, as we wrap up our conversation today, any pearls of wisdom that you just want to leave the audience with that you think they should know about before we wrap up?
Yeah, again, I hate to sound like a broken record, mate, but it's honestly just getting to know their patients. You just don't want someone that's just going to walk through the door. You want to know exactly who they are, you know, to the point even where you want to know whether they like tea or whether they like coffee. So you don't offer tea or coffee, you just give them tea or you give them the coffee down to that specificity, right? That to me is the most important thing. And if you've got a website right now and you're not sure whether it is going to cut the mustard, have someone independent who knows absolutely nothing about you go review it. Because I made the number one mistake when I was creating my brand name is I asked my family and my friends what they thought of Dogillon Digital. And they all said, oh, yeah, that's a great name. Until you ask someone who knows absolutely nothing about you how to say it. And they say, how do you pronounce your surname? So that's been something that's been very interesting for me. And I would recommend to any dentist out there to say, find someone who knows absolutely nothing about you because they're going to be the ones that are going to critique you the most and pull stuff apart. And if they've got no idea what that page is or what that service offering is or how you even do it, then it's time for a change to have a look at that content rewrite.
Yeah, cool, cool. And again, just to reiterate, getting that ideal patient profile or ideal patient avatar is key. 3 M's of marketing is the market or your ideal patient, the message and the medium, and you've got to get all of those 3 things in sync. And it really does begin, as Nick has made very, very clear, that it begins with getting clear about who your ideal patient is. So again, ladies and gents, if you take nothing else away from this episode, get that right? Yeah. You've been an absolute gem, Nick. Thanks so much for taking the time to come and hang with us. Looking forward to our next conversation. And again, ladies and gents, if you want to find out more about what Nick does, head across to dentalrank.com.au and we look forward to seeing you next week for our episode. Take care.
Thanks, Jesse. Cheers, mate.
Cheers, Nick.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast with Dr. Jesse Green. For more free tools and resources, join the free Facebook group. Visit drjessegreen.com/Facebook. And for more episodes, visit drjessegreen.com/savvydentist.